Hi, I'm Kara Lawrence. This is Let's Hear It. Thanks for joining me. Tonight, with a little help from our friends Keith Hall and Jeremy Siskind, we're going to have a sort of jazz house concert on WMUK. Keith, the professor of jazz drum set at Western Michigan University and host of WMUK's Jazz Currents, is in the Yoshimi Takeda Performance Studio with his friend and Western Jazz Quartet bandmate, Jeremy Siskind, the new professor of jazz piano at WMU. Mr. Siskind started teaching here last September. In November, he got on an overseas plane to England and competed in the Nottingham International Jazz Piano Competition, which, lo and behold, he won. Jeremy and Keith will talk about the competition, his songwriting, and his teaching, among other things. And last but definitely not least, Jeremy plays for us on the radio station's Yamaha Grand. Here's Keith Hall.
26-year-old pianist and composer Jeremy Siskind is a graduate from the Eastman School of Music. And he's already performed both jazz and classical music at Carnegie Hall. Legend Mary McPartland, who's featured him on her program Piano Jazz, calls Jeremy a remarkable young pianist and a rising star on the jazz scene. Jeremy, welcome.
Thank you, Keith.
We'd love to hear you play some piano for us.
Sure. Well, I actually have a brand new tune that I thought I could share. It's a sad little waltz, but I think it's kind of fun. It's called Décrement, which is a French word that means lessening or decreasing. So let's start there.
Thank you.
Jeremy, you have a distinct voice as a composer. Now, who or what would you say influences you as a composer?
So I really see the music that I'm passionate coming from three different traditions. Of course, there's the jazz tradition, which is where I'm really, what I was really schooled in. I've also studied a lot of classical music, particularly the music of the Impressionists like Debussy and Ravel. Also a lot of Schumann. I have a great love of Bach. But I also am really interested in the singer-songwriter genre, and particularly the confessional aspect of that music, like your Joni Mitchells and your Nick Drakes, and even some modern people like Damien Rice and Lisa Hannigan, and their kind of their commitment to melody and their commitment to a song as just a little perfect gem. So hopefully my music reflects all three of those influences in something of equal measure.
You're the winner of the 2012 Nottingham International Jazz Piano Competition in England. Congratulations. And what was that experience like for you?
Well, piano competitions are always a mixed blessing. On one hand, it's almost like a convention of, you know, great young pianists. So I've met some of my best friends through piano competitions. And every time I'm there, I'm kind of re-inspired and reinvigorated and finding new ways and discovering new aspects of the art form. On the other hand, competitions can be really stressful. And I think occasionally they do damage to the music because, you know, art is not a competitive process. So, you know, sometimes it's easy to get caught up mentally in, am I good enough? Am I playing enough fast runs? And am I, you know, showing off this aspect of my playing? So to me, it's also kind of a mental struggle to be able to let all of that stuff go and to still be the best artist that you can be. So it's got a number of different challenges, and that competition in particular was really inspiring. There were 12 great pianists from really all over the world, and really probably any of the 12 could have won, but I was lucky this time.
Well, thankfully, this is not a competition, so would you play something else
for us?
I felt
like I was winning. yeah, sure. Let me play something a little bit more jazz-influenced for you. So this is a song called The Inevitable Letdown, which people find that to be kind of a funny title. But what this is kind of describing is that anytime I have something I'm really looking forward to, whether it's a performance or a family event or a trip, after that's done, I always feel this sense of disappointment, this emptiness, because half of the fun is having that thing to look forward to. I kind of imagine that feeling as this, like, old, burnt-out cabaret, maybe like in post-war Germany with, you know, beer-stained tables and broken windows and, you know, just a couple regulars still the only ones hanging out. So I tried to write the music that I heard might be happening in that cabaret. So that's the concept behind this piece. It's called The Inevitable Letdown. Thank you.
You're so bad. I love you, man. That was great.
So I should mention that that piece, The Inevitable Letdown, actually appears on both of my albums, which are on the label Brooklyn Jazz Underground Records. The first one's called Simple Songs for When the World Seems Strange, and that features Ted Poor on drums and Chris Letcap on bass, and then a little bit from the great vocalist Joe Lowry. And then my most recent CD is called Finger Songwriter, which is a play on the singer-songwriter genre. And that whole album features a trio of piano, one player of woodwinds who plays saxophone, clarinet, and bass clarinet, and then a vocalist. So that piece and a few others of mine, actually, I've written lyrics to them. So if you're interested in hearing what that lyric would sound like, that album's called Finger Songwriter.
Jeremy, you were recently appointed as the professor of jazz piano at Western Michigan University, and we're grateful to have you here in Kalamazoo. How has this new position affected your playing?
Well, it gives me a lot of opportunities to really think about what I'm doing. You know, I'm spending all day. I get to teach classical pianists. I get to teach jazz pianists. I taught jazz composition, jazz theory, and even a piano pedagogy course. So I get a lot of time to think about, you know, what's really important for me to practice. What are the most important aspects of playing? What should I be thinking about when I'm playing? And each student brings a new set of challenges that really challenges me to add to and to edit and reconsider and really think about what I'm doing. And also, it's just such a great environment in terms of brainstorming and stimulating, learning about new recordings, talking about a different theory technique. I probably learn more from most of the students than they do from me. So it's really been an intellectually stimulating kind of an experience so far.
Well, we'd love to hear something else from you.
Okay. So I have a little piece called The 6-Minute Tango. And how this piece happened was that I'd been wanting to write a tango for years. I kind of like how it's on the outskirts of what's normally done in jazz, but still kind of has a lot of those elements. I actually wrote this when I was in undergrad, and the building closed at 11 p.m., and at 10:54, I was done practicing other stuff, and I said, I'm going to write this tango. So I wrote it in 6 minutes, and the performance won't take quite that long. But here it is. It's The 6-Minute Tango. Thank you.
So, Jeremy, you've told me that you do these house concerts. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of my big passions and one of the things that I want to really expand in the future. My group of piano, voice, and this one player of woodwinds has played in about 40 houses over the past year or so, and we have a couple more tours coming up. And why I really love doing this is that the vast majority of people just, it doesn't even cross their radar to go to a jazz concert. You know, it's not something that they would consider doing. But if somebody invites them over to their home for a party and some music, they might be interested in going. And we've encountered so many people who had only listened to country music before, or only listened to metal before, or just weren't that interested in music, but actually ended up having what they've called life-changing experiences as they've actually encountered art music. So it's a way that as a musician, I can really feel like I'm providing a service to the community. Because sometimes as musicians, we find ourselves playing constantly for the social elite, the music fans, as well as students and fellow musicians. But really, to me, it's so satisfying to reach that other demographic, the people who it might change their life to hear a concert. So I'm planning many more house concerts and really hoping to expand that practice.
Well, Jeremy, thank you for sharing your artistry with us today, and we look forward to hearing more from you.
Thanks a lot, Keith.
If you'd like to hear more music or learn more about Jeremy's house concerts, you can visit jeremysiskind.com.
Yes, that's jeremysiskind.com.
Jeremy Siskind and Keith Hall, heard in the WMUK Yoshimi Takeda Performance Studio tonight on Let's Hear It. We're really thrilled to put the talented Jeremy Siskind and Keith Hall on the radio in West Michigan, and I know there will be many of you out there who would like to hear them again. Look at our website, wmuk.org, to find out more about tonight's show and to listen back to Keith and Jeremy in the WMUK studios. Let's Hear It is the show. I'm Kara LaRance, and we're featuring music of the moment every night, Tuesday through Friday at 8 o'clock on WMUK, 102.1 FM, music, NPR, local arts, and more. Jeremy referenced two CD releases on BJU Records. On 2012's Finger Songwriter, he's joined by a singer named Nancy Harms and reed player Lucas Pino. This is the tune that blew me away on first hearing, Vanished Music, Twilight Water, describing the music of the natural world.
juniper buds dark and true. The juniper buds dark and true, fill with dew in the gardens and woods, the gathering stars dive and play. The gathering stars dive and play, a migration of glistening birds. The river's long swirl, the twilight embrace of blue, like some vanished song, the music returns to you. The lilt of her voice sweet.